for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the minister.
I want to give you a little bit of my testimony, if I may. See what the Lord's, how the Lord's going to bring this. I came out of the Baptist church. I was, my husband and I had been in the Baptist church almost all of our lives. And I came to know the Lord, really know the Lord in the Baptist church. I used to go to church. I'm going to say this because we need to turn loose and let God have His way. In the Baptist church, I loved the church. I had a pastor that knew the word. He could spend weeks on one verse. And he left the church, and when he left, we got another minister that came in. Well, I thank God for what I learned in the Baptist church, because I learned that I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rules of darkness, that I'm seated in Christ. But I would go to church, and I couldn't find the Lord's presence. I was so hungry for God. And we worked in all the things that the church did, bus ministry and Sunday school. I was a church hostess. I was the cook for six years. You gotta go with me into the kitchen for 6 years and see. I'd have to deal with deacons. Oh, they're lovely people. But the thing is, I was doing everything that was required of me to be a good Baptist. But I would go to the pastor and I'd say, "Would you tell me how to really get saved?" Because I would go out, they were sending me out on, he said, "This got nothing to do with deliverance." Yes, it has. You gotta know Jesus to get, you've got to be saved to get delivered. And they would send us out on visitation, and we'd go knock on the door and you know, talk to them and so forth, and we'd say, "You need to be born again." "Well, how do you do that?" "Well, you invite Jesus into your heart." And I wanted to know how to explain to people that didn't know Jesus how to know Jesus. And I'd ask the pastor, and he'd say, "I'll get back to you." So I got tired of waiting on him to get back to me, so I'd sit on my couch with my Bible, and for 6 months, I sought to know how to be born again. And God told me. And He took Luke chapter 1 to tell me. The angel of the Lord came to Mary and said that she was highly exalted, that she was going to have a child, and that holy thing that was going to be born in her would be called the Son of God. And you know the story. And the Lord said to me, "Read verse 37. And I read it, and it said, "Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." God said to me, the word has to go into your heart. Just like Mary was conceived, Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary. The word had to go into my heart, and the Holy Ghost took it and birthed Jesus in me. The new birth came in. I've got a lot of scripture He gave me on that. But you see, I wanted to know how to tell someone how to be born again. Many people hear the word appear, but they don't have it in their spirit. Jesus has to be birthed in us. And so, I could go out and share Jesus, but I was still hungry, and I'd say, "Lord, where were you in all these things I was doing? I was doing this and I was doing that." And I hear other people say, "I'm doing this and I'm doing that." And I say, "Lord, I went out visiting. I cooked in the kitchen. I taught Sunday school. I worked on the bus ministry. And I went home. And I'd sit on my couch and cry. And I'd say, Lord, where were you? See, I was doing it all. He wasn't. And I was hungry and I was thirsty. I'm still thirsty and I'm still hungry. But the Lord, as I prayed and sought the Lord, I would go to the pastor and I'd ask him, tell me about the Holy Ghost. Oh, you don't need to know that. You're born again, you got it all. Well, he was telling me all he knew. But I knew in me that there was something missing, so God sent some people to the church, and a lady became, and when I found out she spoke in tongues, she became my best friend. And God used her to pray for me to receive the Holy Spirit. And when he did, God put such a hunger in me for the Word. I'd already been digging in it, but I could read it, you know, with the natural. But God began to reveal it to me. I'm telling you this to tell you, say this to you. You hadn't got it all. None of us have. If you're hungry for God, be open. Then God took me into deliverance. I became a spiritual vagabond. You know what that is? Went from church to meeting to meeting to meeting to hear somebody else tell about what God was doing for them in their lives. And it was just making me more hungry. And I'd see the same people in the same prayer line time after time after time. And I said, Lord, what's wrong with healing? I know this was after God healed me. I know the Word works. So then we found out about deliverance in our home in the Bible study. But that's a long story. But I'm telling you this to show you that you've got to be born again to receive deliverance, and you've got to want it. God won't separate you from your friends. I said that upstairs. But when I received the Holy Spirit and God began to show me, I was more hungry for the Lord. I still wasn't satisfied. You see, even though you saved and you feel the Holy Spirit, you haven't got it all. We keep pressing on to go on further and further with the Lord. And deliverance is a way we clean up ourselves. Let me tell you something. Pastors need deliverance too.
Amen.
In fact, they need it worse than anyone else.
Amen.
One time won't get it.
Nope.
It's a continuous thing. Deliverance is a way of life. And when I saw God move, I have to tell y'all this. I went to, someone put Wynn Hurley's books in our hand. I didn't read it. But I heard that he knew a lot about deliverance. I never did read in his books. But I bought all of them and gave them to everybody else to read. But we went to his church, and I saw God's power moving and manifesting spirits. I had never seen the power of God like I did there. That's where I go back to the healing bit. I had seen people get, I knew God was healing people, I knew people were getting healed, but I wanted to know why the people were never healed that I knew that kept getting in the same prayer line. And God began to show me there was a root cause to it, and until you got the root cause out, they didn't get healed. And I said, Lord, I've seen people had oil poured on them till they could float a battleship, and you know, that was expression, or hands laid on them till they was bald headed, and they still not healed. But why? And so he began to show me there was a root cause to it. And so when I went to Hurley's church and I saw a manifestation of power, you see where God's power is, something's going to happen.
Amen.
And I looked at that and I thought, nah. No Baptist kicked up in me. And I thought, nah. God said, don't kick it aside. Kick it out, lay it aside, and go, and then get into the Word and find out about it. And that's what I did. And I said, Lord, I want that. If that's what you want me to have, but you have to do it. You do it. And he began to show me things. And he began to teach me that deliverance was real and that people could be set free. Now, I'm telling you this. I'm going to teach on sins of the fathers or whatever. I got another name for that over there in a minute. But I want to tell you something. God brought a lady to our church, and she came in. She was from the Methodist church, and she visited us on Sunday night, Wednesday night, because they didn't have church but once a week. And one night she was going home. She and her friend was going home, and she manifested. And her friend didn't know, her girlfriend didn't know what to do with her. So she brought her back to the church. We didn't know what to do with this. Was before we really got, we were just learning deliverance. So my husband was real smart. He got her filled with the Holy Ghost that night. He got her back, and she received the Holy Spirit. Well, she came into the church. Well, she had a lot of problems, and I began to minister deliverance to her. And God used her to teach me deliverance. And I always say I learned deliverance on the floor.
Amen.
I spent a lot of time on the floor, all day and night, with this one girl. And I'm gonna say this, and then eventually I'm getting the word. But she had 16 false personalities. She had been abused as a child, molested, and she could not believe anybody loved her. She was full of hate and everything under the sun. But the false personalities had come in with the abuse and her trying to win favor with getting someone to love her. But through this, God set her free. It took a while. I didn't know anything about false personalities. First time that I ran into one was one Sunday morning, right in front of the pulpit and the Lord's Supper table. And everybody's saying, take her to the back room, take her back to the back room. Don't do it up here. Well, it couldn't happen. She was manifested. And so we ran into these things, and she got free from them. And God set her free, and she's a real good deliverance worker today. She's been through it. She knows what it's all about. But God used that to teach me what I know about deliverance, or a lot of what I know. That's been a long time ago. But I'm telling you all of this because, let me tell you something. It's hard to get up here and teach deliverance, teach when everybody's sitting back there and saying, I could do it better. I know more about it, you know, and all this. So I'm trying to tell you to be kind to me this afternoon. Bear with me. And if you want deliverance, let it go. I love to do it. I love to teach, and I love to cast spirits out. But if you don't think that you've got any, go look in the mirror. I just tell it like it is. Get in front of the mirror and say, Lord, what about me? You see, what I know about, what I believe about deliverance, the more demons you get out, the more room you got for God.
Amen.
God wants to fill us up with His presence. He wants us to be close to, draw us close to Him. But we always sit around, there's a lot of people sit around and say, deliver my wife. I'm okay. And the wives are saying, deliver my husband. I'm okay. Listen, we've all got them. And God wants us free. But He will not overpower your will. He will not. And what I say, if there's anyone here before we start this afternoon, as I get through this afternoon, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you come and get prayer and open your heart up to Him and receive Jesus and then get delivered. You see, a lot of people say, well, people that are not saved are the ones you get delivered. Well, that's not true. How would they stay delivered?
Right.
The house would be empty, and the demons would go out and come back and bring seven worse than the first. The house has to be filled, and has to be filled with Jesus Christ. You know, God loves us so much, He sent Jesus to set us free. He sent Him to restore what the enemy had stolen. And the best that I can this afternoon, I'm not going to teach on the soul. I thought I'd tell Doc that I'm not teaching on the soul this afternoon. But I'll probably get on it before I get through. Because you see, God's Word says He restoreth our soul. Okay, if you will, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just come to You now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise You and give You glory and honor. Lord, we've come and we thank You for the privilege of coming to Your throne room. Lord, our heart's desire is to know You. to know you in your fullness, to become completely one with you, Lord, that you can lead and guide and direct in every era of our lives. Father, we thank you for all that you've given unto us. We thank you for the authority that's in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will endure forever. And you said you have not because you ask not. And when we ask amiss. So right now, Father, we ask you to just manifest yourself in our midst. And Father, that you'll set the captives free. You said in your word, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And so, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we just ask you now to fill this place with as many angels as is needed. Cleanse it from the deliverance that was held here before, in the meeting before. And Father, we thank you for the authority. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for all that you've given unto us that pertains to life and godliness. And Lord, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. And we give you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If you will, open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. I've titled this afternoon, Kicking Over Sacred Cows. And we're 1 John 5. We're going to kick over a few sacred cows this afternoon. I told the girls upstairs to get a load of stone because they'd probably stone me before I got through, but they said they hold off. 1 John chapter 5 and let's start at verse 18. Got it? We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. See, you've got to do something to keep yourself from the enemy. John is telling us here that if you're born of God, you keep yourself from where the wicked one toucheth you not. And we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him. That is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. So we're going to look at some of the idols that are in our life this afternoon, and we're going to kick them out. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 7. You know, we don't call things idols that God does. We have many idols. And well, let's start with chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness?" Did you know that it's hard to walk with an unbeliever and believe God, for you to believe God? Because they will try their best to pull you over to thinking like they think. And you have to stand upon the word. You have to be firm in it. I said, just telling the girls upstairs, you know, I'm tired of watching and hearing people say I'm this and I'm that, and they're not walking in what they say they are, what the Word says they are. God wants us to be epistles that others can read, that they can, the world is not going to pick up the Bible and read it. But you may be the very one that will lead someone to Jesus Christ if you will be who you say you are. And what verse 15 says, "And what concord hath Christ with Baal, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." What agreement has the temple of God? Are you the temple of God?
Yes.
With idols. And we have so many idols. And God is telling us, and this, what I'm going to share with you this afternoon, is something you've probably heard before, but you're going to hear it again. And if you come back over here, you'll probably hear it again. Because God is trying to teach us to cleanse our house, to cleanse this house, the house that we live in, and to walk in the power and authority of the Word. be ye doers of the word. Paul, James says, and not hearers only. And then he says, in Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Somebody used that scripture and they didn't go on to the fear of God. They used one this morning, I think it was. They just cut it in half. But you know why we walk like we do? There is no fear of God in us. If we feared God Almighty, we would do what this word says. We would be doers of this word. We would, no matter what it cost us. And it'll cost you.
Amen.
When I started believing the word and walking in it, I lost all my friends. I lost my kids. And God says, I'll bring them back to you one by one. And he did. But let me tell you, it cost you, but you are the only one that you can answer for. Did you know that?
Amen.
You cannot save your family. You cannot save the world. You can be a witness. You can share the word, but you can't do it. And unless we walk in what we say we believe, they're going to look at you and I and say, well, I don't see that you're any different from me. I was telling the girls upstairs, I said, I'm the little old lady that lives on the corner that's strange, that's peculiar. And I said, yep, I'm peculiar. And they know me. I don't know how. I walk a lot with other people. And every time I make the trip, I've got a new partner walking with me. And they'll stop their car and they'll say to me, you sure have got pretty roses. And I thought, how do they know me? I mean, I'm not out in my yard all the time, and, you know, but they know about me. That's what the Lord's been showing me. Somebody's been talking about me. Well, I guess I give them enough to talk about when they come visit. I just talk to them. You know, it's a way of life, the scripture. You know how the word is in you in abundance, and when somebody asks you a question, I don't have wisdom of my own. I have God's wisdom. He gives me a scripture to answer them with it. And one lady said I was religious, and the little girl lives across the street says, no, she's just different. And she said, this girl told this other girl, said, well, has she got you to her church yet? And I said, no. I mean, she said, no. Is that what it is? You know, Jim used to do that all the time. He said, Mama, pull your beads off. Sorry about that. Should have yelled sooner. I had help today that's reminded of my husband. Somebody upstairs helped me, and I said, thank you, because he was always helping me. Where was I? Oh, she said, she told that girl, she said, she hasn't asked me to her church. So she doesn't even talk about her church. And when she said that to me, I said, I don't want you to go to my church. She said, you don't? I said, scare you silly. It'd scare her silly. If a demon manifested, that girl would get up and run out of there. You know? I mean, you never know what's going to happen in the church, you know? And so the other day she came over there and she said, her and her daughter had been watching The Exorcist on the TV, and so she comes over. Her daughter got real afraid. She came over and she said to her mama, said, Mama, I'm afraid. She says, just sit down. I'll go talk to Mildred. And so she came over and she asked me about demons, and I said, well, you know, and I kind of smoothed it over. I didn't want to drive her too far away right then. And she just insisted, so I just told her. I haven't seen her in about a week. She'll be back because she takes as much as she can stand and then she comes back. But why I'm telling you this, you see, we have got to be, if I sit quiet when they ask me things like this and they tell me what they believe, when she told me they went to see Harry Potter, her daughter did, and her husband, I said, oh my goodness, Terry, shouldn't have said that. Why did you let her go? Oh, it's nothing to it. And then I began to tell her. I said, yes, it is. And I said, your child did not need to go. You see, if I'd have sat there and not said anything, she'd just passed it off. But she had to stop. I told her that I don't do Halloween. Her little girl was asking me, tell me she's coming to visit me on Halloween. I said, no, I don't do Halloween. She says, what do you mean? I said, I don't do Halloween. I said, it's of the devil, and I don't celebrate anything of the devil. And so I didn't say it quite like that, but that's what I was telling her. Well, anyway, you see, if we'll be what God wants us to be, if we'll stand there, and we'll stand, I'm going to get on some other things. I got scripture. I'm just starting. I am going to do the whole thing. I have a cheering crowd going up here. But the thing is, if you decorate your house and you hang out all the stuff that they've got, every time I see those cats and the witches and all that stuff hanging on people's door, you know what I say? They are inviting, saying, come on, we believe in you. And they're teaching their kids that. And the enemy has already done enough of taking over our world. And if we don't stand and tell them about it, who's going to tell them? They don't know. God says, my people perish from lack of knowledge. Most of God's people are doing the same thing. And we need to stand up for what we believe. I tell you, it's time that we became who we say we are. And stop being afraid. And listen, are you going to please God or people? You cannot know. And let me tell you this, and we've got to obey God. And when God gives you a word you about something like this, you tell it. And don't buttercoat it or sugarcoat it. Tell it like it is. I am so tired. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the custom of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammer, that it move not. What am I talking? What's God talking about there? He's talking about the Christmas tree. Christmas is a pagan holiday. We don't have a mass for Christ.
Amen.
Christmas, Christ mass. I get more people disgusted with me, but let me tell you something. God is more disgusted with us than you could ever be with me when I go to telling you this, because we don't believe His word. If we did, we'd act on it. There is no Santa Claus, and they made Santa Claus into God. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. We lie to our kids. We've told our kids and our grandkids lies. And we build up Christmas, and all I see people, and I turned on TV when I got through this morning just before I left the trailer, and they're talking about all the shopping that people are out buying and Christmas presents and all of this. That is an abomination.
Yeah.
They're selling. When was Christ born? The Bible doesn't tell us what His birthday, the date of His birth, because God didn't want us to make an idol of it. And look at the idolatry. You go in this store today and you see something that's about Jesus Christ, if you will. Go and tell me where it is. I'd like to go see it. You got Santa Claus. You got snowmen. And all this kind of stuff, reindeer. What's that got to do with the birth of Jesus Christ? Not anything. And yet we are just as, you say, well, that woman's awful. You better believe it. Because it's a pagan holiday, it is not the birthday of Christ. And here Jeremiah's saying, don't people go out and cut trees? And they bring them in, they decorate them with silver and with gold, silver tinsel, gold tinsel, lights and so forth. Listen, it's time we became different. My little house sitting on the corner, it's decoration all on every corner. All around me. And they say, aren't you going to do something? Yeah, I'm going to go over to Hot Springs and preach Jesus and do deliverance. What's deliverance? Well, I'll tell you. Come on in, I'll tell you. they're all lighting up. And you ask some of those children, I'm not kidding, the little girl next door to me don't know that they're celebrating Jesus' birthday. She does not, has never been taught that. Now you see why that's an abomination unto our God. Those 10-year-old girls doesn't know. It's of the devil. Right.
Paul's rebirth is the second day after the one of Paulus, when Paul is coming back from the dead. It was a great pagan holiday that was sanctified by Pope Leo, because it was a great pagan holiday. And so to get the Christians away from Paul's holiday, he decided he'd make it Christ's birthday. Did you know that it was a great pagan holiday, and they carried every custom associated with Christendom was associated with Baal's birthday. The day Baal is coming back from the dead, the days are now getting longer, and Baal, the god of fertility, the god of spring, the god of fertility and good crops and fertile animals, is coming back from the dead.
Nimrod. Talk about Nimrod. Go on.
No.
That's the holiday.
That's right.
That's right. It is.
That's the history of it.
Read the two Babylon.
Yeah, and they've got that book. Get it. It's got a lot of information in it. I'll tell you another one that I like.
Yes, Paul. You find a raven in the hay, and she's the goddess of fertility.
Easter. Is a pagan holiday.
Amen.
That's why we have Passover. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Passover, the blood of the Lamb, and all of this. You see, every holiday, except Thanksgiving, you got Valentine's Day. That's a pagan day. And I'm not going into the holidays, but look how the world has been drawn into it. Look at where I encourage you from now till December 25th, go into the stores and see what you can find when you're in the store about Jesus. Look for even a card. I did it last year and went in there and raised Cain. I raised Cain with the manager, and I said, you've got paganism all over this place, and I don't see one thing, and I'm a good customer here in this store, and I want to see something that pertains to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, we've got it. I said, where is it? I have walked this store over. I have looked at everything. I cannot find it, and I want to see it. Well, I went home, and I came back. He had put a manger scene up. on a cross piece up there. It wasn't up too long, and it was gone. So I'll go back in. He sold it. But let me tell you, I did the same thing with Halloween. I was going into this grocery store. Every Halloween, I could not get groceries and put them in they didn't have a bag, and they'd put my groceries in. And I'd go in, and before I'd pay them, I'd say, I don't want my groceries in those bags. We don't have another. I said, well, I'm not going to buy the groceries if you don't have another bag. I did that for about 4 years, and I'd walk out of the store. Finally, they got boxes. I went in there last year, same store, and they told me, said, here she comes again. And the manager met me. He said, I want you to know we don't have those bags in here anymore. And I tell you, it seems we have to stand up for what we believe. And I told him, I said, you know, that's ungodly. Don't do things like you're doing here, and we are your customers. And you know, our southern towns, a lot of them, you know, have got, most of them are Christian. And they go in those stores, and they don't ever think about it. They take those little garbage bags home. Not me. if we don't ever say anything, they don't know where we stand. So God wants us to stand up and be counted. And I'm telling you, if you participate in Halloween, if you've ever been dressed up as a witch, you need deliverance from the spirit of the witch. If you've ever done all the things, bobbing for apples and all that stuff, it's all demonic. And there's books here that tell all about it. Glenn's got one, Things That I Ponder. I don't know where it is, but it's a real good book on a lot of stuff. It's real good on the holidays, and you need to get it. Read it. Going on. I said I was kicking over sacred cows. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. You know, when I first got into deliverance, I cleaned my house. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm telling myself now. I had a manger scene that Jim had put up. We lived up on the side of the road, and he built a stable, and he put on each side of it, Jesus is a reason for the season on one side, and the other he had John 3:16. Well, when he died, it was up in the attic, and I really hadn't even thought about it. Everything was still in boxes up there. Doc came up to my house to help me clean my attic out. And the first thing he did, he got my idolatry out. He said, what was wrong with it? Madonna, I was told that you're being too religious by a deliverance worker, teacher. I said, well, you know. Deuteronomy chapter 7. So if you've got any of those in your house, when you go to put them up, you're going to remember all this. In verse 25 in chapter 7 says, the graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord God. The Lord thy God, neither shall thou bring an abomination to thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. God said that when you bring something that he calls an abomination, idols, into your house, you know, it's a cursed thing, and if you've got it, you're cursed. I didn't say that. Wasn't that what he just said? You know, I'm going to tell you this. When he's talking about the silver and the gold, I've seen people in my church, one lady in my church do this, and I had a real hard time with it and told her so. I said, it's you and your business, but I wouldn't have it. She had some stuff that she used to wear around her neck, and it was silver and gold, made of silver, I think. I can't remember if it was silver or gold. So she takes it and has it made into just a clunk of silver and then put it back on her neck. And I said, well, you still got the same thing. She said, well, no, it's not the same. It don't look the same. But this word says, the graven images of the gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or the gold that is on them. Wasn't it James Robinson that took $1 million worth of idols and put it in the river? Whatever it was. Yeah, jade. And he destroyed it. You see, and you don't give it away. You don't give it to someone else. Why would you give somebody else something that's cursed? So we say, well, what's an idol? Anything that comes between you and God that you love more than you do God. Anything, even your children, your husband, your wives, can become a god, become your idol, if you love them more than you do God. God's word says in Exodus 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What I'm trying to say this afternoon, I'm not really just trying to pick on everything. It just happened to work out that way. It's what God gave it to me. But the thing is, God is saying we need to be who we say we are. What did Joshua say? Who are you going to serve? If God is God, serve him. But if he's not. You know, God must weep at us sometimes. But I think of the blessings that come when we obey Him. When we are willing to give up things that cost. I told the church, and there's a lot of new people here, I'll tell you about my idol. I had idols. My grandchildren. I had a whole bedroom. I had four kids, and they all had children. So I would have one wall, each wall for each child, and had pictures on it. I mean, they were just, you know, just pictures. And then I would take new pictures that came in from the kids. I had this lamp sitting on a big old oval table, and I would set in the lamp, you know, the light. And the pictures I would set around that lamp. And I walked in one day and God said to me, "Get rid of your idols." I said, "Lord, what are you talking about? I don't have any pictures on my wall except those grandkids in there. I took down every picture, had scriptures all over my walls." He said, "You've got an idol right there. And every time anybody comes in this house, you show it to them. You show them your idol." I said, "Lord, you're right. When God puts His finger on you, you know He's right." So I took them up, and I took my pictures off the wall, and I put them in albums. I still have the pictures. I tried to give them back to the kids. They took some of them. Then I gradually, the pictures of my kids when they were little, that's not my kids anymore. They're grown, big old, you know, big old boys, they're like this, and they're grown, so that's really not my children anymore. You know, there's a picture of them when they were kids. You said, "You mean get rid of them?" No, just hang on to them. Go, it's the first part of Deuteronomy 7. Let's back up just a little bit. Let me see where I am. Verse 1. "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and Amorites and the Canaanites and Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, even seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt not make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. That with them thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughters shall thou take unto thy sons. For they will turn away thy sons from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall utterly destroy their altars, break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are on the face of the earth." I think it's over in Deuteronomy 5. It tells us we're not to make images of anything. Let me see if I can find that real quick. He said, "Thou shalt not make thee any graven images of any likeness of anything." That is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8. "Thou shalt not make thee any graven images of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation." God said we're not to make images of anything. What is an image? Look in the mirror. You say, "You're against pictures." No. You can have all you want. Just don't worship them. Make idols out of them. You see, but we do that. You say, "You're hard." You see, this is me. You do what you want to. My job is to share scripture with you and leave what you just pray about and do. I'm not saying don't take pictures of your grandchildren. I don't take pictures. I don't like to have mine taken. I really don't, because they're so ugly. I take a horrible picture, and everybody, and I think because I feel this way, I have people trying to snap my picture and just stir me up. And they do. But you see, what I'm saying is, we don't want idols. If you've got pictures of your children, do you stop and tell everybody that comes in like I did mine? People visit, look at my children, look at my grandkids, aren't they cute? God may take them all away from you. He moved mine so far away that I don't see them half, and haven't seen some of them in several years. Okay, going on. Let's go to Acts 19. Told you I was going after your sacred cows. No way I got that expression. I heard somebody else. It's not mine originally. I got it from somebody else. But we do have them. Acts. You know, what I think is so interesting, that when the power of God moved in Acts 19, that the people brought their arts and things and destroyed them. And God, and the word grew mightily as they obeyed, you know, did this in honor of God. In Acts 19, verse 13 says,
this is the end of part A of this CD. Please play part B. Thank you.